Chapter 15. Charlie and Rika sat quietly in the ship's ruined command center. Rika had done another check on the comms systems, confirming their demise. At least they were out of earshot of the rest of the crew. It would be a quiet place for them to discuss the dire nature of their situation without unnecessarily stressing the others. "They have good reason to be stressed," Charlie had noted.
"We all do. But there's no need to unduly increase it if we can help it. I mean, Siobhan is so on edge, I think she's about ready to take someone's head off. And it's not for want of pain meds."
"Nah, it's a different kind of pain. Being forced into a sedentary role when you're used to being active, it can drive you batty."
"Well, her legs are both shattered. It's going to take a long time of her sitting on her duff before she walks again, let alone runs."
"I know," Charlie said. "And believe me, I know how she must be climbing the walls. Did I ever tell you about the time I got a stress fracture in my shin?"
"Not that I recall," Rika said.
"I was in high school. I used to run a lot back then. So one day, during cross-country practice, my shin started hurting. I ignored it and kept running. Stuff like that happens when you're an athlete, right? And teenagers think they're invincible anyway."
"So you just kept going?"
"Precisely. So about a week later, it still hurt, but worse. My coach said, 'Run it off, it's just shin splints.'"
"Let me guess, it wasn't."
"That's cheating. I already told you I had a stress fracture." "But at that point, I didn't know. So I just did what my coach said and kept running. 8, 9, 10 miles a day. The tiny crack growing until finally it hurt to even walk. My mom took me to get a bone scan, and the doctor said if I'd kept running, the tibia would have split vertically. I'd have had one leg over an inch shorter than the other."
"Yikes, that must have really hurt."
"Oh, yeah. But do you know what was far worse? When the doc told me I couldn't run for 9 months."
"But bones heal way faster than that."
"I know. But because it was vertical, they couldn't just break it clean and put a cast on me. Instead, I had to walk around with no cast and no visible reason I couldn't run. From 10 miles a day to zero. I couldn't even jump rope or anything. As a kid that active, you can imagine how hard it was.
Probably even more so for your poor parents. I mean, a teen stuck in the house with all that energy and nowhere to spend it?"
"Yeah, it was not ideal, to say the least."
"So what wound up happening?"
Charlie took a swig from his canteen and climbed to his feet. "I drove myself and everyone around me nuts until it healed enough for me to at least start riding a bike. But what I'm saying is, I know how Siobhan is feeling. And unfortunately, there's nothing we can do to help alleviate it. And that's coming from someone who's been there." He walked to the airlock door and slid an empty pack over his shoulder. "We should get cracking. Jamal was hurt beyond our ability to help, but the others should mend. But even with one less mouth to feed, we're still going to run out of food eventually. And I, for one, have no desire to recreate the Donner Party's little adventure." Rika grabbed her pack and joined him, following the corridor back to the orange-lit sky of the strange world.
"I'll grab the sled," she said, trotting off to retrieve the makeshift load-bearer.
"Okay, I'll pull us some water from the solar stills. Enough for a few hours' trek, at least."
"Sounds good. Meet me back here in 5.
Charlie nodded, and the two went their separate ways. In just a few short minutes, another day of mind-numbing labor would begin, starting with a long walk in a dusty wasteland.